For those of you who may just be joining us Saturday morning for Mass, I feel sorry for you because this is the fifth installment of a series of homilies that I've given all week long. And today is the last one on this part of the theology of the body. But better late than never. In Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, led by Gandalf, decides to burrow into the deep tunnels dug by dwarfs rather than attempting to climb the Mount Everest of marriage exteriorly. Our path on the Mount Everest of marriage now also turns away from the daunting outside to the dark inside, as we follow the lead of Pope St. John Paul II's theology of the body. Our papal Sherpa leads us through two tunnels at the end of chapter 1 of part 2. First, John Paul explains that marriage is indissoluble. That is the words of the wedding vows when couples say, "Till death do us part." And the Pope Saint leads us through a second tunnel, showing us that every child born from a marriage brings an undying hope to the family. An old Spanish adage says, "Every child is born with a loaf of bread under his arm." Every baby is born as a beacon of hope. I help couples understand the importance of indissolubility by saying this: I don't care how big your biceps are, you cannot tear apart what God puts together. After all, Jesus declared in Matthew 19, verse 6, "Therefore, what God has joined, let man not separate." In other words, marriage's indissolubility flows much more from what God does at a wedding than what couples do. Then the Holy Father goes a step further by connecting this indissolubility to the inner life of God, saying, "To such a unity and such a communion of persons of the Holy Trinity, are dedicated Christ's words referring to marriage as the primordial sacrament. The root reason marriage is indissoluble, therefore, is because spouses are caught up in a love that is far more than human. God's grace raptures them up into the eternal love beating in the heart of the Holy Trinity. Consequently, spouses should not divorce, because the Holy Trinity does not divorce." This is the meaning of indissolubility. John Paul will state this with even greater precision, saying, "When Christ confirms marriage as a sacrament instituted by the Creator at the beginning, when he accordingly requires its indissolubility, he therefore opens marriage to the salvific action of God's grace, to the powers which help to overcome the consequences of sin and to build the unity of man and woman. You know, God never asks us to do something for which he does not give us the proper tools. God gives every married couple the mission, maybe it feels like a mission impossible, of being an unbreakable mirror of the Holy Trinity. I have worked with married couples who decide to stay together even after one of them commits adultery, because they draw on the powers which help them overcome the consequences of sin and to build the unity of man and woman. Indissolubility is the mission impossible of marriage." A second tunnel John Paul invites us to explore, he calls the hope of every day. That every baby brings by its birth. One of my favorite professors at the University of Dallas was Dr. Janet Smith. She taught philosophy, but she had the enviable knack for making it very practical. One day she said very memorably, having a baby is like induced maturity. She went on to elaborate. When you are just a couple, it's easy to be selfish and only worry about yourself. But the day you have a baby, you start thinking about how safe the parks are, who the chief of police is, what television shows are on, who's on the school board, etc. Babies, in other words, grow us adults up. Michael Waldstein, the translator of the Theology of the Body, breaks down John Paul's complex language into baby talk that, heck, even I can understand. He explains how babies give their parents the hope of Christian maturity. He says, life according to the Spirit also expresses itself in mutual knowledge. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Adam and Eve knew each other and had a child. By which the spouses submit their masculinity and femininity to the blessing of fruitfulness, birth and babies. It expresses itself in the deep awareness of the holiness of the new life to which both give rise. I will never forget my brother's words when he described how he felt holding his firstborn son in the delivery room. First, he felt a wave of love wash over him. He knew he could die for this baby. Then he felt not a wave, but a tsunami of responsibility wash over him for this baby. He knew he was responsible for everything this baby needed. Can you say induced maturity? Every baby brings the hope that their parents will grow up. Of course, this is not an infallible hope. Hope always carries a certain uncertainty. As we can see all around us, grandparents are raising grandchildren because parents have summarily abdicated their parental duties. And the scourge of abortion has not significantly abated in spite of the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade. Nonetheless, every baby brings a bright hope from heaven. And that is precisely why they come to earth, to remind us that our true hope lies in heaven, that is, in God's grace, and where finally God will be all in all. Perhaps now we can briefly summarize this long mile we have covered in walking around and admiring the magnificent Mount Everest of marriage. Following our faithful Sherpa, John Paul II, we scaled the sides of marriage by four passes. First, we discovered how marriage helps us see the church as both the body and the bride of Christ. Second, we learned how divine grace is best understood as a gift, especially in light of the gift of the body spouses give each other in sexual intimacy. Third, we reflected on the similarity between the Father's creation in the beginning and the Son's redemption in the end, as both reflecting the love of the triune God. The whole thing is a marital affair from beginning to end. And fourth, we saw how marriage sheds its lucid light on the other six sacraments, shining on their hidden depths as six aspects of the mystical marriage of Christ. But then our Sherpa led us into the darker but no less divine tunnels of the mountain of marriage. He pointed out how marriage is indissoluble and unbreakable, like of the love of the inseparable Holy Trinity. And in a second tunnel, John Paul helped us discover the hope that every baby brings to his or her parents, but also to the whole world. Babies make us more human, and their greatest hope is to make us maybe even more Christian. Praised be Jesus Christ.